night of the first debate. We're going to take calls from some of our friends around the country here in just a moment or two. On balance, Donald Trump, substance, gets a 10. Hillary Clinton, a 3 or a 4. Her style hid that. It's that same old professional political, almost no breaks, no variations in the texture of her answers. It was suspiciously smooth, but she's been at it for a long time.
Jeff, I have the results of 5 different polls.
Okay.
I mentioned Drudge already with Trump ahead 81.5 to Hillary 19.5. CBS Local News in New York. Trump, this is with 33,000 votes. Trump 57, Hillary 43.
Wow.
New Jersey, who won? Trump 53, Hillary 42, neither. ABC News poll, Trump 53, Hillary 42, neither. The Right Scoop, Donald Trump 65%, Hillary 26%, neither, 6. So it's pretty clear across the board that the Donald made the more favorable.
Yeah, well, he did it on the basis of substance, and I like the way he spoke over Lester Holt to make sure he wasn't going to back down, and Holt knew that. As an interviewer, you know, Jim and Preston, Trump is not going to be denied. When he has something to say, he will say, he will keep saying it until he's allowed to finish it.
It was very presidential the way he did it, though. He was firm.
No, he wasn't yelling.
He
concur.
Firm.
Yeah, very firm. That's the kind of firmness we want for this country.
Yeah, it was good. It created a very favorable impression.
Yeah. Okay. Preston, any other remarks, and I'll go to our first call.
No, I think
here.
It amazed me, though, just was the gestures on his face when Hillary was spreading the lies. You could just see his eyes roll.
Yeah.
It was just...
She didn't stop.
It was terrific.
Basically, it was a seamless performance of lies and platitudes. That's what it was. Just nonstop. She said, what was it once, that joke? If you just stop asking me questions, I wouldn't have to lie. All right. In Pennsylvania, one of the key states, Sue has called in. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the program. Thanks for taking time to give us a call.
Hi, Jeff. I won't take too much of your time. Hello, everybody.
No problem.
The thing that really got under my skin that Hillary's, well, she, mostly everything got under my skin that she said, but what really got to me was she was badgering about the income tax and insinuating that Donald was hiding this and that, and then she actually said that maybe he wasn't as charitable as he says he is, and the first thing
hilarious.
Popped into my mind was that video of Haiti where Donald Trump was listening to the president and all those hundreds of millions of dollars that were collected for the Haiti Disaster Fund by the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
They only gave them 5%. Those people that were at that meeting with Donald Trump, all those officials, they had the documentation, they were so, I don't even know the term to use, how angry they were at the Clintons and how much they, I can only say, despise them. I mean, just, and I'm thinking, and she's questioning Donald Trump's charity.
Very slick. Very good, very astute of you. He's got so much he could do with her. I ran the story the other day. The former president of the Haitian Senate said the Clintons stole, what did he say, $1 billion from us or something? It was some huge amount of money. Yeah. They looted the disaster relief money for Haiti. These people are beyond criminal. That's the amazing part of it. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sue, very much for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, you take care.
Excellent call.
Oh, yeah. All right. Colleen, hello. Where are you calling from, Colleen?
Hi, how are you? Hang on one.
We're good.
Hi,
we're good.
How are you? I'm in Milwaukee, actually.
Very good.
Very close to where the riots were, actually.
All right. So you have a Harley-Davidson in your garage, do you?
You're so funny. I used to ride with my boyfriend and my husband, but we got into a little accident. So, But no, I used to do some pretty long trips. 4,200 miles was the longest camping.
Wow.
So, that's a nice badge for your vest. Good job.
I can do it. But at any rate, I caught the very tail end of the debate, which probably was good for my health. maybe like the last half hour. And one of the things I noticed right away, a couple of things with Hillary, she seemed very rehearsed. I mean,
oh, you bet.
As though she knew exactly what she was reading.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? When they asked her a question, I mean, how did she have, except for sort of the tail end, the questions, it seemed as though she probably had them prepared in advance. And then the biggest thing that I noticed, and I was surprised that she made it as long as she did, and she did look a little bit different, but as she walked out, and you guys have to go back and look at this, or maybe you noticed it, but she was grabbing on, she only walked about 5 steps, and Chelsea and Bill were, I think, on either side of her. She only walked about five steps, but it had sort of had the appearance that she moved around more. But the entire time she was grabbing on to someone with both hands.
Uh-huh.
And so obviously she was trying to steady herself, which
yes.
is,
yes.
you know, pretty indicative of, I think, of what we've seen. The woman barely could walk down a flight of stairs a few days ago.
So that's right. Yeah. Good observation. I didn't see
right
it,
there.
But I'll look for it. That's very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, just take a look at it. I mean, the lady, it seemed as though like she was working a crowd, but Hillary doesn't work crowds. Not anymore, anyway.
No, what you said earlier, though, there was a lack in Hillary Clinton, as always, of spontaneity.
Oh, yeah.
It's all...
I thought Donald did.
It just comes right out. What did you think of Donald's substance in his answers? Real answers.
I think he did a great job. I think he could have even come at her a little bit more hard, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I thought he was very good.
Very good. Okay. All right, Colleen, thank you very much for your contribution.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Evening. Thanks
okay.
for your show.
Very good. All right. Let's jump now to say hello to Carl. Hi, Carl. Thank you for calling in. Where are you calling from?
Well, hi there. I'm calling from Albuquerque, and I just want to say hi to Professor James Fetzer and Dr. Preston James, and I just really love to hear the show, and you too, Mr. Ensign. You know, it's just the observations from you know, Professor Fetzer when he mentioned, you know, how she, basically what Mr. Fetzer was implying, it sounded to me, that she didn't want to admit to anything on her watch. And that would be, you know, staying to a script and wouldn't go toe-to-toe. She did not look and act presidential in the least. She looks like a violator. She looked dirty, smug-faced, and the way she stood there, and then when he brought up the three factors of, you know, Libya and Iran and Iraq all on her watch, and she was a failure on these tasks, and that she failed, and that $1.7 billion was missing, and it was on the table for a deal, and that's the kind of deal she would give. This is on her. Now, this is facts. And she couldn't even defend her own self.
See, I missed that. That was the third hour. That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. We also want to go
These
back.
Are facts. He spoke of
yeah.
facts. He had ideas. He had tasks. He had business plans. He kept going. He was presidential. He did this. And she read, and she just looks smug and as a violator as she
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yes. Well said. I would like Mr. Trump to mention to her sometime that in the first and second terms of the Clintons in the White House, how does she feel about the over 500,000, a half a million human beings that she and Bill consigned to death and killed in Iraq with their no-fly zone for 8 years? How does she feel about half a million people that she murdered? Not to mention the murder of Muammar Gaddafi and God knows how many who have died since in Libya.
When is the truth going to come out? When is this disclosure and truth going to come out?
Yeah.
What you said, Mr. Rich, is very true. When's it going to come out?
Yeah. Well, we've got two more debates. Let's see what happens. All right. Thank you, Carl.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. You take care. Okay. Jim, anything you have to say?
Well, I'm just looking at a New York Times encapsulation of about 20 points, and it looks to me like every one of them is taking Hillary's point of view. I mean, that's how bad it's got.
Yeah, the Times, the Post. Yeah,
yeah, the New York Times is just, I've referred to it as the Langley newsletter, and clearly Hillary is the CIA candidate.
Well said. Preston, anything to pop in here real quick?
No, I think basically you're going to expect the media to all side with her as much as possible, the mainstream media, because after all, they're all totally controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, her whole email system was nothing but a covert operation. That's why they won't prosecute her.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But bottom line, she
apologized, Preston. She was sorry.
The media, they've gone so far overboard supporting her that they've made themselves look stupid and foolish, and they really discredited themselves to the public. So I think they've done a lot of damage to themselves as well as to Hillary.
And she turns out to have had 13 different servers and less protection than you'd get with Gmail, meaning she didn't even have a password.
That's right. These are inexcusable crimes against the American people. And they've got to be made the issue. The issue is Hillary Rodham Clinton. Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. Or is it Hillary Rodham Diane Clinton?
But remember, Jeff, the bottom line to all this is pay for play. That email stuff was leaked on purpose so they could get money for it. With the Clintons, everything's for sale. The furniture, you can come and stay in the White House if you pay, make a nice big donation. Everything's for sale.
You want to be an
the president?
Yeah, you want to be an ambassador? Cost you $100,000 or up, depending on which country. They've had all that down too. Amazing. All right, let's see. In Washington, I guess Washington State, is Tim standing by. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Jeff. James and Preston are must listen to. I always catch you at the top of your game.
Thanks.
So this is what I took away from it, and I took some notes.
Uh-huh.
Anybody that was for Trump at the beginning of the debate is still for Trump. Anybody that was for Clinton is still for Clinton. Where Trump won it, and nobody can see it yet, but I see it. Where Trump really won it is the honest, the intellectually honest, the people that didn't really know Trump, the real undecideds, the apolitical undecideds. And where Trump won it, he came across as a real person.
A human being. Spontaneous,
sincere,
honest,
right.
Thinking on his feet, absolutely.
There you go. Right.
And there were repeated occasions where he agreed with Hillary. He said, I agree with you about, at least a half a dozen occasions. I thought that was tremendous. It showed modesty, humility, willing to concede that he doesn't know everything, that she's got some good points. I thought it was
and
very,
not
very
afraid
important.
To give credit where credit's due. And
that was important. I think that's an excellent call.
Now, high class.
I think the callers made a real good point there. That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he came across as a passionate American, honest, sincere, a real person. And then the other thing that where he really is going to score is the people that really want change, and that's supposed to be like 70% of us. When you take a look at that debate, he is the agent of change. He's the guy that's going to change stuff. And then finally, Hillary, I just can't stand that voice, and I got a feeling there's a lot of other people that are going to say, I don't know what it is about that voice, about how she talks, but that just grinds you. But anyways, always a great show, Jeff.
I catch you
every night. I mean, you're at the top of your game. It's just like, I can't, you lock up those 3 hours and, there's nothing I can do about it. Great show.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks very much for being out there in the kind
words. You don't want that voice in your living room for the next 4 years?
8 years? What are you talking about?
She's actually not going to survive her first year, Jeff. She may not even survive.
No,
to
we don't want to give her her first week. So, all right, very good. Let's see who's up next. All right, Catherine. Hello, Ms. Catherine. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff, and thank you for all you do.
You're welcome.
I think Trump, at the last of his statements, one of the things he could have said is, "You can't handle the truth."
Oh, that's
and
nice.
That,
yeah.
To me, is if he can use that, I hope he does. And when I saw this thing and I saw the same old from Hillary, I said, no. Listen, you have lied to us. You are nothing but a liar. And then when he, oh, he was on the defensive. I saw that through the whole debate. I got so frustrated, and I said, oh, my God, he's on the defensive. He's not on the offensive.
Right.
She was on the offensive.
Basically
and
correct.
I said, wait a
yep.
minute. If you're going to play a team, you're going to play a game here, then all of a sudden, but I thought if he had made that his final sentence, I think he would have really kicked some butt.
He could have. No, that's an interesting concept, and I think it merits some serious thought. The last sentence, the last phrase could have turned. Like the phrase that he gave to Rand Paul. He looked at Rand, he said, you really had a tough day, haven't you? And Rand hung his head. That was a withering statement, and I think one of those kinds of things, a Clint Eastwood moment, you feel lucky, punk, or whatever he said.
You feel lucky, punk, or not.
Yeah. Very good, Catherine. Yeah. Thank you for that. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome, and thanks so much for what, and I love you guys, Preston and Fetzer. I love you guys. You guys are great. And Dana, the story on Dana really broke my heart.
Well,
okay,
he's a good man.
I've been following you, Rents, for a long time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I think his signature line should be, if you vote for Hillary, nothing will change.
Well, she proved that tonight. I honestly didn't hear anything in the less than an hour I heard, anything new from her. I heard the same old, just repackaged. They whitewashed it. They put it together. She spewed it, and that was it. There was nothing in there. Here's Donald passionately talking about bringing companies back, bringing jobs back, and she is, her same old socialist communist crap. Oh, we got to tax the rich. People are so stupid that they can't understand that the rich are the ones who own the companies that employ the people.
At the core of what came through about Trump was that he knows business. He knows what he's talking about. He's used to dealing with large sums of money. He's not intimidated by the nation having this vast debt. He's got a program to deal with it.
I think that impressed
a lot of Americans.
Yeah, she didn't seem to mind that we're $20 trillion in debt.
What did she say about it? She contributed to it?
She didn't say anything about it. Nothing.
Her husband was the greatest disaster in retrospect. With NAFTA, Donald did several good things there with NAFTA and the TPP and the part you missed, Jeff. Very good stuff.
Right. All right. Excellent. In California, Marilyn has called in. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for your live call-in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The only thing that I saw, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I did think, and I'm a Trump supporter, he laid himself open for her a little bit too much, and he also let her get under his skin. He's got to control that because this woman is a master at that sort of thing. So that's
a very very good point, and I think that they're all going to...
Well, what were the occasions when she felt Hillary got under his skin?
He was on the defensive a lot, Jim.
I thought he was pretty good.
He was counterpunching a lot, and that's okay because he's a hell of a counterpuncher.
Well, she got the flip of the coin, so she spoke first.
Let her get on his case about the tax return. He should have immediately changed the subject and say, we need to talk about globalism, we need to talk about wars everywhere.
Then you're accused of changing the subject.
I agree with Marilyn to that regard for debates 2 and 3. I don't think he should stay on track. I think he should give a 1 or 2 sentence answer to the question and then bring in something about her character, her criminality, she and Bill's history, what they've done to this country with the Chinese, Charlie Tree. Nobody remembers these technology sellouts. The Clintons sent 5 of our fastest #1 supercomputers to the Chinese when the Chinese agreed on a piece of paper not to use them for defense. We'll only use them for university research. Give me a break. They sold us out. This is treason. They used it for technology.
I don't know if you heard the part, Jeff, where he talked about how 5 of Hillary's IT people had pled the 5th.
Yeah, I got that one. I saw that. He kept holding his hand up. The 5th. Yes, yes. Score. Even if he was counterpunching, he was scoring. Yeah, Marilyn. Yeah.
I'm sure knows that ISIS is a U.S.-made entity. But
sure he
does. There's got to be some way he can get that point in without being, without alienating people that actually think ISIS is for real that are his supporters. I would love to see.
Well, he did say that Hillary and Obama had created the vacuum.
Like, he really believes ISIS is really somebody else and not U.S. made. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you, Marilyn, very much for the call. Great contribution. Very good observations. Thank you. Okay. Yes, not just ISIS. There may be a handful of these so-called moderate rebel groups. They're terrorists that we are backing and we are funding, we are organizing. And when the Russians, with three of their awesome caliber missiles, took out that command and control center, Preston, yep, with the Israeli Mossad, the Americans, the Brits, and who the hell else,
killed
them all, that sent a huge message. And that was a shock. Guarantee you the Pentagon was shaken up by that. Guarantee
they have
it
to have been. Yes, yes, yes. And
well,
then
they've been so arrogant. Serving. I mean, you can't, you know, the United States, the CIA, and Israel, and Turkey, and Saudi Arabia started ISIS, and NATO, all it is it's a, private mercenary army to try to create another war. That's all it is, and to oppress Islamics and take their land. That's all it is. Sell war product, make profit for the bank.
Yeah, the other issue about taking from the rich, tax the rich. Look, the best thing we could do, and I disagree that Reagan's economic policies failed. They didn't. When you turn that money loose, you invest it in corporations, companies, large and small. Small business in America is basically dead. It's not going to come back. It's been usurped by huge conglomerate corporations. That's just the way it is. We need to be able to bring industry back, not retail, not service. We need industry back, manufacturing and production. We cannot survive as a service-oriented economy. It won't work. Back in just a minute. Hold on. How did Mr. Trump respond when asked how he would bring companies back to the U.S. and factories? He's answered that question for over a year. He's cutting the corporate tax rate in this country from 35%, which drove a lot of manufacturing industry out of the country, down to 15%, one of the lowest in the world. They will come back here like they're on the end of a rubber band. So the answer is more than well known. Okay, and he did talk about cutting the tax rate, at least the part of the interview I saw. Now we have more callers here. Let's see who's up next. Okay. Click, click. And let's see if we can make this thing work. There we go. Alan, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Texas, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, and I just want to give my gratitude, my appreciation to all three of you gentlemen. You've definitely helped me grab a few more pieces of this puzzle we try to call truth and reality that we're all trying to achieve.
Thank you.
I'm glad you called. All three of you I could talk to for a month. I could sit and talk with you for a month. I wish I could, but I'll try to stick to the subject. it's y'all's fault that you got me thinking this way. But I grew up in Arkansas, and I've been watching Hillary Clinton for a lot of years. Thing as Attorney General, I knew people that went to school with him, I've kind of been pretty involved with him. And that Hillary that's on stage, that looked close, but the woman, I mean, you know, that dour mouth pinch that she always did, the real Hillary, when something really started getting to her,
Right.
I did not see that in this woman tonight. And every time, you know, like you said, it flowed too smooth. Every time that she would start to get stuck a little bit, you know, she'd close her eyes like she was glancing down. I don't know if there was something on her notepad, some kind of something electric, or if she was getting some kind of a neural reception. But, yeah, it just flowed too smooth. And she did not have the shriek in her voice that Hillary Clinton has always had.
Now, she was slicker than, well, slick. And you're right. We don't know. That was Hillary. I think that they do give her a lot of Botox injections, which is fine. That's okay. It's telogenics, it's appearance and all. I don't begrudge anybody that. I'm not trying to age shame anyone. But I do think that that accounts for a small difference in her appearance. But the mole was there on the upper lip, our left corner, her right corner. So, I mean, it was Hillary. And
yeah,
I think she was...
One thing that does upset me a lot of times is you know, the technology that's been withheld from us. And pressing what you said earlier, I know a lot of women who get onto this, on board with everything that's going on again, if they would come out with the technology that took about 20 inches off Hillary's, if they got elastic that'll do that, that'll take 20 inches off her waist. I mean, the women out there will love us forever if we can get that technology out.
Yeah.
And as Tim Riefack calls her, the piano leg lesbian, I did not see that on stage.
Terrible, Tim. That's funny, Alan. Very good. Anything you want to add? That's good. Excellent comments.
I'll let some other folks jump on here. I wish I could call in more often, Jeff. You're a great interviewer. I can feel you biting your lip sometimes, but you give everyone a fair chance, and that's what I appreciate and I love about your show. And I listen almost every night.
Thank you very much, Alan. Great to know you're out there. Thank you. Okay. Now let's see who's up next here. Looks like we're going to go to California. Talk to Bryn. Hello, Bryn. That's Bryn.
That is correct.
Got it right this time.
We're
good. What are your comments on this thing tonight?
Well, you know, I think Donald Trump did what he had to do. There was one point in the debate where they were talking about the whole birther issue, and Trump says, "Look, we need to talk about the issues. We need about ISIS, the economy, and all the other things." So I thought that was a real good part of the debate there, where he tried to tell the moderator, you know, let's get to real issues here. You know, that's what I like about Trump. You know, he's not your average typical presidential candidate. You know, that's you know.
When you think about the issues that she raised and made, Bryn, the birth issue, the tax return issue, these are not issues. They're not how to restore the country. They're not solutions. They're not bold programs. He's right. We need bridges. We need roads. We need airports. We need all kinds of things.
We need infrastructure.
We need security. We need to overhaul the system. We need to deregulate things that are regulated to death. All you got to think about is all the corporations that have left this country. They've done it because they've been regulated and taxed into having to leave. 35% is way too high for a corporate tax rate. He wants to cut it to 15. I also submit that by pledging that anyone earning $50,000 a year or less will pay no more income tax is a gigantic platform plank in anybody's... Never heard anything like it. That should be grabbed by everyone, left, right, and center, and praised. That's a brilliant move.
Absolutely.
Put that money in the economy. Wow.
Yeah, it'll do a lot of good things for America, that's for sure, you know.
Yep. All right. Anything else you want to add, Bryn?
No, just give some other callers a chance to speak their opinions. And
thank you.
Take care, everybody, James and Mr. Preston out there. So God bless you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much again. Okay, Bryn. We have a couple lines open now just for the first time. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And
the polls I mentioned before, Jeff, has increased the number of participants to over 50,000. This is the rightscoop.com poll, and it shows Donald Trump with 69.56, Hillary with 24.59. America lost because both candidates suck, 4%. It was too close to call, 1.5. It was so boring I fell asleep, 0.36. I think I find it hard to say that it was so boring I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But the fact that all these polls are clearly favoring the Donald, I mean, by, you know, 10 points is the least margin. All the others are higher. I think that's very telling.
One of our callers earlier made the point that he felt a lot of these people were undecided, and I think that's a significant part of what you're seeing there. I think this did push people off the fence, a lot of it. Here's a man, the guy was so damn sincere and clearly speaking from his heart and his mind. He wasn't slick and smooth and polished. He was passionate and profound and practical and pragmatic, and that works. That's where people sick and tired of professional, slick politician speakers like Hillary is the ultimate example in that. All right, let's say hello to Sheila. Hello, Sheila. Where are you calling from?
Good evening.
Hi. Speak up a little louder, please.
Okay. Hold on a second. Turn my volume up. Is that better?
That's better. Go ahead.
I'm calling from New Hampshire. This is Sheila.
Okay. Very good.
I was going to mention something about when, you know, she was attacking him about not paying the contractors in his business, you know. He mentioned something about an architect not getting paid for a building that he designed, and I thought, I wish that he would somehow slip into, speaking of contractors not getting paid or money getting paid to contractors and the work not being done, I was hoping he would talk about Haiti. And the money that they took. And
hope that he does that in the next two debates. What the president, the former president of the Haiti senatorial body of their government, they have a bicameral government like we do, the Senate president of Haiti, former, said the Clintons absolutely raped them financially.
Yeah. And a lot of those people aren't in shelter, are they? They're in.
No, they built a handful of structures for the survivors of the quake. They haven't done anything. All that money was looted.
Yeah, and it's been 6 years.
That's
been
right.
A long time.
Oh no, it's not going to change. No, it's sad.
The other thing, I had my Facebook page open because there were two or three of us that were going to discuss things while the debate was going on, and one of my friends said, you know, the birther issue that they keep harping on was actually started by the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2008, and I didn't realize that. She said even the liberal MSNBC had to admit it, and she's blasting Trump for it now, and she's got a lot of nerve. You know, she just made that comment, but I didn't realize that it got started with the Clinton campaign in 2008.
Donald actually was pretty good on that point. He hammered it home and how her then campaign manager had been interviewed just this past week and acknowledged the fact. So, you know, I think that issue is not going to come up again.
Right. They were spinning that a lot after the debate.
Yeah, but it's,
you know, they were spinning it.
Well, again, it's a waste of time to talk about it. It was a canard. It was a cul-de-sac to nowhere.
I fault Lester Holt for extending it, Jeff, because they'd already talked about it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Lester came back to it unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily, completely, totally. This has nothing to do with the next president of the United States, the birther issue. Nothing. Nothing.
Right. One of those commentators was saying, well, that was the platform that he's built his campaign on.
Oh, please.
Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous. No, it was not.
No, he has been so articulate. And so incredibly elaborate in presenting his positions on the economy, on race, all of it, on our health care, everything, all of it, right down the line. He has the most elaborate, complete, and I think intelligent and articulated campaign planks that I've seen in a long time. You want to know what he stands for? Go to his site. The subjects are right there. Read what his platform is. It's there. Thank you, Sheila, very much.
Thank you.
NewJersey.com, Jeff, now has 145,000 participants. And they give Donald Trump 55.9, Hillary 39.6, neither 2.9. So, I mean, he's got it by 56 to 40. That's very substantial with that large a poll in New Jersey.
That is. Well, you see, it's all about substance. And he's not a slick, polished machine like Hillary Clinton, and I think people like that. He came across as a real person, and I, again, because of my technical background, I would suggest that they had his mic oversensitized and turned up to pick up his normal inhalations. You didn't hear anything from her. They had her mic. I listened. They had their mic modulated. Volume was low. So they're playing little games. At least they didn't give her a stool, but I guess without much amphetamine, they didn't have to. Okay. You still there, Preston?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here.
Just so sitting back. I'm really enjoying. Fascinated by the quality of your callers, Jeff. They're really excellent.
I am so blessed. These people are wonderful. Let's go now to say hello to and thank Paulette for waiting. Hello, Paulette. Thank you.
Hey, nice to be here with you. I have two options.
Where are you calling from, Paulette?
Carpinteria.
Paulette, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Nice to hear you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you sound good. I'm really happy that you sound so good.
Thanks.
I have two observations, and I hope for the sake of time that they haven't already been made. But the first one is there was a point where Hillary's plastic mask dropped away, and it was just like a split second. And she shot this sideways look with her eyes to Trump. And it was at that moment that it crystallized within me that she really, her motivating factor for being there was to say something disruptive to him, to get him to blow a fuse so that his big selling point of having an even temperament would be blown right there, you know, for the whole world. And then second, I didn't hear anyone else mention this, but at the very end, Trump said, you know, I could have been really vicious with Hillary, with her and her family, but I chose not to do it. Now, she's been really vicious with me, and he, you know, slightly delineated how she
uh-huh.
has been.
Yeah.
But he said, you know what, I could have done it, but, you know, I just couldn't, but I chose not to.
No, he's a gentleman.
I thought that was incredible.
I didn't hear that, but I've heard of it, and thanks for repeating that. Very good point. I think also, from what I was able to see, most of the time, now Jim, Preston, correct me if I'm wrong, and Paulette, wasn't he looking at her when he was speaking, and she
yes.
was looking at the cameras?
Yes.
She wouldn't give yep. him the courtesy of looking at him when she answered.
He was 90% of the time looking at her. She was 10% of the time looking at him.
Ah, I was right. All right, very good.
Well, did you all, did anyone else catch that glance that she shot
yes,
at him?
Yes, I did.
And
you're
incredible?
Exactly right. And it looked to me like it was kind of a reticence, like a fear in her eye.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, if she could stab him, she would.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought that was a very powerful moment to see her, that mask drop.
That's a very interesting point. We'll look for that. Thanks, Paulette. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Here's another poll result, Jeff. Heavy has a poll with nearly 50,000.
Yeah.
And it gives Trump 71.5, Hillary 25.85, neither 2.64. I mean, that's a very large margin. I think it's nationally going to be less than that, but it's still going to be very significant,
right,
probably
right.
15% overall nationwide, I'd bet.
Well, I just go back to what I only saw most of the first hour. I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I do feel that the central issue of this campaign, beside Trump's platform positions, which are all on his website for anyone who wants to watch them, and we've talked about them and heard them for over a year now, and they're marvelous. The idea of cutting all income tax for people who are in 50,000 a year, that's going to help so many people. I think, honestly, go ahead, Jim. What?
I was just going to say, I got another poll for you. This is from the Washington Times. It's a lesser number. It looks to me like, 6,000, but it's Trump by 71 to Hillary 23.
Wow. Well, people liked it. You've named off about 10 polls now.
Single one.
The man
Trump
came
by a significant margin. I mean,
they don't. People want change. They're so tired of these polished, almost inhumanly smooth, textureless political speakers, which is what we saw tonight in Hillary Clinton.
But I think there's something else going on, Jeff. I think people want genuineness, honesty. When I was watching it, I was looking for the meta communication, the overall image. Yeah. And what I saw with Donald Trump was honesty, calmness, not reacting. You could see it with his eyes. He's thinking, man, this lady's out of her mind. But he held back.
He was
restrained. He looked presidential.
That was remarkable. I agree.
And she looked like a big phony and smirking all the time. It's like
nobody likes that kind of arrogance. No, nobody. Nobody.
Here's another poll from Slate with over 42,000 votes. Trump 54%, Hillary 46%.
And that's Slate? Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's an establishment organ. Okay.
Even they gave it to Don.
Yeah. Brian. Hello, Brian. Thanks for your patience. Welcome. Where are you calling from?
Colorado. Thank you.
Okay. Colorado. Supposedly dead even up there now, I guess, or close to it.
No, Trump's in the lead in Colorado.
Oh, is he? All right.
And okay. They say if Trump can win Colorado, he's got the election locked.
All right. Okay, Brian, it's up to you then. Vote early and vote often.
Well, I would bat a stick of dynamite if I were Trump. I remember decades ago, I heard a rumor that during the Iran-Contra hearings, in a moment of lull, somebody held up a sign from the back of the room, said, "Talk about the cocaine." And that's what...
Mina?
Mina,
Arkansas, the cocaine, yeah. There, like I said earlier, the next two, if he wanted to... She is the issue. Her character, her criminal past, the 10 years, the 8 years, however many years Iraq suffered under the 8-year Clinton no-fly zone horror. So many people died. These are important issues. Benghazi, she ordered the murder of Muammar Gaddafi directly or indirectly. He was under a white flag, but she laughed. We've seen that. That's inhuman. That's not human. That's psychopathic. And then some. Brian, anything else you want to add real quick here? Go ahead.
Well, why is he being so polite then?
I think he wanted to take the high road this first time, and we'll see what happens the next time. He wants to be presidential. People want that. And they know he was holding back, and that showed a lot of, I think, internal control.
Hey, it worked. Here's another poll. CNBC, 336,000. Trump 59, Hillary 41.
Oh, CNBC.
CNBC with 336,000, yeah. Jeff.
That's extraordinary. They're not oversampling the alternative right either, or I guarantee that. That's amazing. Okay, Brian, many thanks for the call. I'm going to try and get a couple more in here. Thank
you. Good night. Thank you.
Good night. You bet. Okay, I'm going to go over a little bit here and see if we can get Ron in here. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Very good, sir. Your comments?
Great to talk to you. One of the things that I think Trump might have should have done, when they asked Trump, how would you stop all the crime, like in Detroit, but he would bring up Detroit.
Yeah.
He goes, well, one thing, that with the crime as bad as in Detroit is, well, there's no jobs. When we have no jobs, of course, the crime goes up. So if we can bring these companies back to America,
yeah,
and encourage them to go to, say, like Detroit, right there the crime would go down because people would have jobs. And the other is we would build this wall to stop this free flow of drugs coming in.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a great answer, but, I mean, tell me what you think.
Well, it's certainly a very good thing, and I do believe he's touched on that on the campaign trail. This man has been on the campaign trail night and day for over a year practically, with a few days off here and there. An extraordinary performance of strength and resilience and character. Yes, I agree with you completely. I think the key to the whole economic future of what's left of this country and what still may be of our future is to bring these corporations back. And that's what the corporate tax rate cut is very simply going to do. They'll come back.
When they did ask him that, what would you do to stop the crime? I was like, Trump, bring the businesses back,
yeah,
and the crime will go down because people will have jobs. And he didn't say that, and I was hoping he would. But,
well, yeah, that's...
other than that, yeah. I thought he's all right.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Ron, many thanks.
All right, thanks for talking to you, Ren.
You betcha. Great, take care. Bye. Thank you. Okay, we got two more calls. I'm going to try and get these two gentlemen in. Robert, it's your turn.
Hey, Jeff, long time. If you remember Goleta, I had a Ford Ranger and a Winnebago motorhome, and you had that little health food store in the 90s.
Oh, my. I do remember. Oh, that's funny.
Do you remember? Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And yeah, I am so glad that Lester Holt gave Trump a rough time. And I think Trump is just going to, he's just going to bulldoze through the idiot stuff. And by the way, you know, you're a great guy. That Cedar House never inflated the values in Oregon. And you never trained in the 90s that I know with the Illuminati or anything like that. So, Jeff, I think you're doing great.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm involved in a big lawsuit, so I'll contact you later.
Okay, Robert.
Yeah, doing great, man.
All right, take care. All right, let's get our last caller in and say hello to Mark. Hi, Mark. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Buffalo, New York.
Welcome. What can we do for you? What are your comments here? We got no time, but we're going to make time, so go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say what a great honor it is to be on with you, and I'm such a huge fan, and you do so much great work, and Fetz, oh my God, to be on with you is a man. I just have to say, I was very, very disappointed in Trump's performance, and I'm a huge fan of his. And I know he means well, and I know he's got his head in the right place, but he just did not pull it off. She had him on his heels the whole night. I mean, when he was asked about how he would get the jobs back, why didn't he just completely succinctly say, remove the incentives for the companies to move out of the country? I mean, make it clear for
right.
people.
I think he said that, but he may have said it other ways. Let's see what happens next time. I think they're going to go through this with a fine tooth comb, and I think you'll see a much more astute and acerbic performance next time. He was counterpunching. Yeah. Fortunately, he's a very good counterpuncher. So I think that the polls Jim Fetzer has been mentioning, CNBC is about as left liberal as you're going to get. And that's an enormous poll.
You mentioned earlier he does have a well-articulated positions on everything, but he did not articulate them well tonight. I mean,
I agree. I think this was his first. Let's look at it this way. It's his first presidential debate. The ungodly amounts of pressure were on him. He's up against a shark of a woman, and I think he did, generally speaking, what he had to do tonight. So
every single poll favors Trump by a huge margin. I don't know how he could have done better.
Yeah.
He could have made some points differently, but he did tremendous. It was a great success.
But the nice thing is, Mark, if you know how to correct him because you know his positions. So he has articulated those effectively over the last year and a half.
I can only hope that other people can do that, too. I mean, when he was talking about the birther issue, why did he go back? Why did he not stand his ground on that? I mean,
he should have dismissed it. They're going to go through this. I think you'll see a lot different performance next time. Take heart in the polls, especially CNBC. Mark, thank you. Got to run. I appreciate it.
You guys are the best.
Jeff, here's a doozy.
Thank you, Mark.
Sapp's
take care.
Broadcast shut down because he was talking about Hillary's health.
Yeah, I ran that. I've got that story up there as well. Okay, wonderful calls. Thank all of you out there for participating. Preston James, thank you, sir, for being here.
You're welcome.
My friend and Professor Jim, always a pleasure, and we'll do it again.
Excellent, Jeff. I think it was a great victory for Trump tonight.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's our program tonight. And, wow, there you go. Watch that CNBC poll. That's, again, that's a left-side spectrum operation if there ever was one. We will be back tomorrow night on Tuesday. Hope to have the pleasure of your company then. Take care.